Very good.
Very good.
Yes. So I'm glad to be with you tonight and introduce this meeting and also the visit you will have afterwards to the various displays done by a number of brothers and sisters with us from various countries. Thank you. But now I have to wait before drinking this nice coffee. But I appreciate that you went. So I gave this title to the brief message I would like to give you, Serving the Lord Jesus in a Time in a Day of Decline. Maybe it's not the best and most modern English word, but I didn't find a better one. I just want to refer to the fact that we are living in a time where we feel it doesn't develop to the better, but it's rather going worse and worse in the world in which we are living. And this might be something which is discouraging for us, in particular for us as young believers, when we see it is not really developing further to the glory of God, what we see in the world around us, but that we see the Lord Jesus is still the rejected one. And we see that more and more people turn their backs to the gospel and to Christianity. You feel it where you are at school, at university. I feel it in my workplace. But it's also good to keep in mind that the Lord is still working, even in this time in which we are living. And we know it's close to the coming again of the Lord Jesus. Now I took here a few verses from the last epistle the Apostle Paul has written. Can you tell me which epistle it is? The last one he has written before he put his pen down and died actually as a martyr. Who can help me? Don't be shy. What has been the last epistle Paul has written?
Second Timothy.
Thank you very much. And this is indeed from where I picked just a few verses, or to say just a few expressions. And I would like to encourage you to read the portion to which I refer here for yourself quietly and carefully. But for the sake of time, I just focus on a few expressions we find in these verses. And first of all, in verses 1 to 8 of 2 Timothy 4, we have a couple of imperatives the Apostle Paul is using to encourage Timothy. Timothy was a younger man. I don't know how old he was when he received this epistle. Maybe 30 years old. It's just a guess. I don't know exactly, but of that order. And we see that Timothy was a man, a bit timid, but he was zealous really to serve the Lord. But he needed to be encouraged. And that is what Paul is doing. And he's telling Timothy to, first of all, preach the word. Preach the word. And this is very vast as an expression, preach the word. But he said also to him later on, do the work of an evangelist, which is not only by preaching, but it's by the whole way of living. Do the work of an evangelist. That implies also, for example, giving out tracts, talk to people. But that is the desire Paul had in relation to Timothy and the work he should do. He said also to him, be sober in all things. There are so many things also which influence us as young people, things we are exposed to, and we want to be sober, not to be influenced by all the information which bounces upon us and can distract us so easily from living a life really for the honor of the Lord. And Paul also said to Timothy, bear evils or be ready to suffer. Indeed, living a life for the honor of the Lord in a time where the Lord is still the rejected one, that implies various sorts of difficulties and even sufferings. And we know there are many believers, and we heard about it this afternoon, still when a brother reported about a believer, and I have forgotten now the country.
Uganda
it was, who was a Muslim convert, but he was really suffering even by people from his own fellowship and community, because they couldn't stand it simply that this man had become a Christian. So, yes, it means in the day in which we are living also to bear evils, to endure difficulties and sufferings. And Paul said also to Timothy, fulfill your ministry. I want to underline this, I should have done it. Your ministry. The ministry of Paul, was a different one, yes, than the ministry of Timothy. It was not just the same. And we have to keep this in mind. Also, as we think about ourselves, the Lord desires that we are available for Him, that we live for Him, and for many of you, might not be so clear yet what is really your task the Lord has in mind for you, but the Lord has a task for each one of us. Each one of us is needed and can be useful, really, for the Lord. And we want to encourage each other by these few expressions we find in 2 Timothy 4, to be available for the Lord, to have an interest in His work. That implies also prayer. But we have heard earlier, some have also gone to various places to help in one way or another in relation to the work which is done in a place. Construction work is done in some places. They are those who are very able to do such work. And so we can help in various ways. There are families out there in various countries. They have children. I know there are quite some sisters who have been going and just helping the families, such that the work the Lord has placed on their heart can be done. Paul furthermore desired that Timothy should come to him. He looked for his fellowship, his communion with him. And so he said, use diligence to come quickly to me. Paul felt quite lonely. He was in prison at the time when he wrote this epistle. And he looked forward that Timothy should come to him. Now, I would like to say still a few things about the verses which are following in 2 Timothy 4. And we find there, from verse 9 onwards, that Paul is mentioning the names of various people. And it's interesting to look at them. We want to do so very briefly for the sake of time, but you see in that list of people you come first of all across the name of Demas. Demas was someone who was actually a laborer with the Apostle Paul. In other epistles Paul has written, his name is mentioned, like Colossians and Philemon, and we see here in 2 Timothy 4 that Paul has to say, Demas, now he loved this present world. Was someone who had a, let's say it like that, a good beginning, but then we see that unfortunately with Demas it didn't go well. He didn't develop in a positive way, but he found pleasure in the present world. And he went actually to Thessalonica, one of the big cities at that time, for whatever reason.
Scripture doesn't tell us. Scripture does tell us simply, he loved this present world. Yes, and we might see also around us some who have been coming maybe to the meetings and now they don't come any longer. They are those indeed, and that is sad, and we want to pray for them that they would come back. But it's very striking to me that just after the name of Demas is mentioned, we find the name of another person mentioned, and his name is Crescens. And it is interesting that his name is only mentioned here. So we have no other reference to this person. What do you do when you find the name only once in the Bible? Well, we know that names have meaning. There are lots of examples in the scriptures where we see that very much confirmed. And it's interesting that the name of Demas means growing.
Crescens.
Sorry, you said you are here. The name of Crescens means growing. Comes from the Latin, crescendere, that means really growing. And it's nice to have him mentioned just afterwards. As Paul wants to say, well, there are those where it goes downwards, but there are others where I see a nice development. And he mentions him. And he can use him. And he's referring to him in a definitely positive way. And then Paul is mentioning Titus. Titus, of course, has even received an epistle of the Apostle Paul and many positive things we could say about him. We don't do so now. But when Titus is mentioned here, we read that he has gone to Dalmatia. Well, if I would ask you here in North America where Dalmatia is, I don't know how many good answers I get. But as you would ask me about a certain state here, and I couldn't tell you much. But Dalmatia is actually a region in ex-Yugoslavia. Maybe you can localize it in your mind. And that is a region which we don't find made reference to in any other epistle of Paul. And as far as we can say from the Acts of the Apostles, well, Paul never went there. But what do we learn? We see there are regions which had not been visited earlier, and where now Paul is sending a laborer. Why? Because the work is growing. You see, we are in a day of decline. It goes in general downward. And that is the undertone of 2 Timothy 4. And still, there are regions where Paul can send laborers to, like Titus here, because there are people who have not heard the gospel. And they had to be visited, they had to hear the gospel, and these believers, they would have to be helped. And Titus was a man Paul could send there. It's very nice. And since that time, and Paul wrote it in somewhere in the 60s of the first century, you see, so many more regions have been visited. And still today, there are new regions which are visited where the gospel has never been preached. Last year I went to Brazil, seeing the speakers, and I was quite impressed by the fact when I read an article that in Brazil, even today, there are tribes which have never, ever come in contact with any society. Not to speak about hearing the gospel, but in the region of the Amazon, you find still tribes, very small groups of people, certainly, but they have completely been without touch to any society. They live like, Stone Age people. Yeah. But just want to mention, even in the day in which we are living, there are still some areas like that. And even in our contacts we have, for example, as believers who work together, we had never contacts in previous years, really, to believers in Laos. Only this year we heard about contacts which, could be formed to believers in Myanmar and give other examples. So the Lord is still working in other areas.
Then we read about Luke. Luke was a beloved physician, like that Colossians refers to him. He was with Paul, and the Apostle Paul enjoyed certainly his companionship. And yes, don't want to say more about him. Then we read about Mark, and Paul just says he is useful for the ministry. You know the story of Mark, when we read the Acts, that he was someone at some point, he said, no, I better go back. It is too much. He was very young at that time, also in his faith. He returned to Jerusalem. Might have been ready also in relation to the ministry of Paul and Barnabas to bring the gospel to the Gentiles and other hardships in relation to the ministry. Might have been there. He wasn't ready to endure them. So we see that at that time he went back. But we see he was fully restored, and now Paul says, bring him with you. He's useful for the ministry. So this desire to bring others in order to help. You should keep it in mind, Paul is referring here to quite a number of people, younger than himself, but they could be used in one way or another. And that is nice. There were people like Tychicus. He could send him to Ephesus. Tychicus was one who was... Sometimes we refer to him as a postman, because a couple of the letters the Apostle Paul has written, he could pass on to the assemblies, like Colossae or Ephesus, through Tychicus. He was the one who was visiting, bringing the letter. And not only that, but also information. Exchange of information is something very important in relation to the Lord's work. That is why we have, for example, a missionary bulletin, which also you can read and get acquainted with the Lord's work, that helps you to pray, helps you to know about the needs. And I just want to say in relation to Tychicus, he was someone who was giving good reports which were helpful to Paul to understand the needs, and helpful for others also to pray in the right way. That is an important aspect in relation to the Lord's work. Yes, and then Paul says to Timothy, he should use diligence to come before winter. And I want to finish this message just referring to one more verse, which is interesting. That is verse 13, not the 9 to 13, but just verse 13. And you might wonder, Paul, why are you writing this down? Why is it so important? The cloak, which I left behind me in Troas at Carpus, bring when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Why is Paul mentioning this? Why is it so important? You can say, well, the cloak, yes, winter was coming. He desired to, you know, have it warm. You know, I take here a little pullover because I feel a bit cold sometimes in your air-conditioned rooms, but this presence, it was really cold. Certainly, that was a reason. But there's more behind it. There's definitely more behind it when we read here about the cloak. Because we find the cloak mentioned a couple of times already in the Old Testament. I don't want to go into details, but you read, for example, that Elisha was picking up the mantle or the cloak of who?
Elijah,
right. And you see there's something very important, because it was on one hand the cloak or the mantle, but it was also the ministry which would be carried on by Elisha. The ministry which Elijah had begun, and it had a different character, the ministry of Elisha, but still it was someone who would carry on the work as the Lord wanted it at that time. And certainly Timothy was someone who had to carry on the work which the Apostle Paul had begun, and not only him but others as well. So it is something very important. The work has to carry on, has to be carried on also by younger people. Younger people like you want to be available.
You know, young people like sports, so not only young people, but you know, there's a way of running, and in French we call it passer le témoin. And my English is not too poor to explain it well, Alfred. Passer le témoin, you know, where you have a stick and you are running.
Passing the baton.
Passing the baton. Exactly. Thank you,
I mean. And I don't know.
Okay. Good. Yes. But I like it very much in French because they don't say passer le baton. Yeah. Pass on the button. But they say pass on the witness, right? But you have people running, running, running. And then the one passes it on to another one. And that is in the language of the Bible, like pass on the cloak, right? And that was actually, I think, a bit behind the mind of the Apostle Paul. Testimony had to be carried forward by the younger generation. And I read behind this line that that is what Paul also wanted, definitely that was his desire to read 2 Timothy. And as we think about, you know, to carry on the testimony, then we realize something very quickly in relation to carrying on the testimony. Something is important, and you will see when you come outside and you look at the various displays, there's a good number of them also this year which have to do with literature work. Literature work is important in relation to missionary work and to carry on the testimony. And I do think that behind these words that Timothy had to bring the books and the parchments, we can think about this. Certainly, Paul had his Bible with him. He's not referring to his Bible. He had not forgotten his Bible in the house of Troas. For sure not. His Bible was with him. Maybe he wanted to write still something. He wanted to read something. I don't know. I don't want to speculate too much, yeah? But I just want to say that literature work is also important, and that is something which is still done today, and you will see this place outside. We want to pray also for this. The Lord is using it, and the Lord wants to use you as well in the work. And yeah, may the Lord help you also to see before him how he wants to use you, where you are, first of all. And the Lord certainly wants to use you also in praying for missionaries and also in supporting them in one way or another. And it was on my heart just to share these few thoughts with you before we go and see now what the various missionaries have to tell us, and you can ask them questions, of course, and wish you a nice visit now with the various displays.